We decided one daily segment wasn't enough for Bill Bush and Bill's Thrills, so we turned it into a week-long podcast recap. Here's Bill's Thrills Rewrapped, sponsored by Acres Equipment on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We know, Sip, that on Mondays, it is Football Facts Mondays for Bill.
The Thrills.
And so I'm curious where we are going today, Bill, with the Football Facts Monday.
We've got a couple things. One, I want to start off with the deal of the century, and that's the Boise State Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
A 3 seed out of the Mountain West.
Wow.
3 seed out of the Mountain West and a bye. I don't know, were they still 10th or 9th? Where were they at as far as
ninth.
Where they were?
Ninth.
Ninth, like that. Yep. And they end up with a 3 seed. If you just take writing it down, you say, okay, who did they bump? Well, they bumped Clemson.
Right.
That's who bumped out. And right now, on what would that point spread be if they played anywhere? Clemson, Boise. I mean, I would have to think a strong 7.5 to 9. I would think it'd be a touchdown at least. I believe 7.5, 7 and a hook.
Clemson favorite.
When you were watching that game, now give SMU credit, a very, very talented SMU credit. I mean, the bigs up front for Clemson were dominant. I mean, it was 31-14. And then all of a sudden this run came, which you give all the credit to SMU. But the deal of the century that Boise now has a bye going into it, because it appeared the whole time that the team that was going to get bumped was the Big 12.
Yep.
And it turns out, and obviously the interesting thing that probably saved Boise was what happened at that Arizona State. If Arizona State wins that game if SMU wins,
okay,
and the same result happens Arizona State, Boise gets bumped. Because they had one loss for SMU, they'd have been a bye team.
Yeah.
And then also Arizona State would have been a bye team.
Hmm.
So I think Boise would have got bumped off what you saw in film. But they couldn't put Clemson up there from the 17 spot to put them up there with the 3 losses. So let's talk game-changing plays.
Hmm.
Steve, you said you watched the entire game. Down a touchdown, I believe, if I'm accurate, I think I am, coming out of halftime, Penn State has a chance to go down and tie this thing up.
Penn State.
And they manufactured a system, which is a play that we've all – been through on defense. They did it off a 2-play call.
What?
So they ran a play. They knew they were running the next play no matter what. And it was hide the tight end in a tackle spot and flex the tackle out. So when you looked at it, it appeared they were in empty.
Penn State did this, right?
Yeah, yes. Penn State did it. And they hid the tight end.
Yes.
And he is wide open down the middle of the field. If he hits him in stride,
it's
a touchdown.
Overthrew him.
If he hits him in stride, it's a touchdown. And then he bobbled it twice and drops it. And if I'm correct, I believe that they didn't score off that drive.
They didn't. Now, Bill, he overthrew that ball, though. That would have been a tough catch.
Drew Aller.
Yeah. Warren.
It was a bad throw, but it was catchable. It bounced twice off his hands.
It did. It would have been hard, though.
It would have been hard, but they missed the play.
Uh-huh.
And that was if they go in and that game goes to tie right there,
uh-huh,
everything flips, because the crowd was probably 80% Penn State.
It was. You're right.
Even when they fought back like that. Also, the analytics stuff, I'm tired of it. I'm not blaming anyone at Penn State, but the going for two early, hey, let's go for two. Then the next time we just kick the extra point to win the game. I don't like that. I just if you want to go for two the next time, fine, go for it then. You have to go one time or the next. But that would not be the same. But that play was so big and well designed. They did it off of ran a play, then they rushed to the football, no huddle, no change of personnel, hit the tight end, and they missed it.
Missed it.
And it's a game changing play. Georgia, Texas, the game changing play. Georgia throws a horrific interception in the fourth quarter, just threw it almost no. It was a bad, bad decision. I thought it was a bad decision because if they run the ball and kick the field goal, they're going to go up 6. And at that time, Texas really was not moving the ball. They intercept the ball. The number one thing you're taught on defense by everyone in the back end is the first guy you block is the most available receiver. If you block the available receiver, they don't. they don't block the receiver. That return was going for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So they were going to take the lead, and then all they had left was their backup quarterback. They had to take them down to score a touchdown to win. It is going to be a touchdown, and they don't block. And you go back and watch the play and just watch the receiver kind of undercut the guy, uh-huh. and he makes the tackle, and they show it from an end zone copy. There's no one out there, and it's a chance because you got skill, and then all that's left to tackle him because the receivers are downfield is a potential O-lineman or quarterback. So the day one rule of what to do in that spot didn't happen. And then Clemson, when SMU scored with 16 seconds, they're just going to overtime. We're not going to do anything here. We're going to overtime. And they give up a huge kickoff return. Mm. And they only had one play, and they get 18 yards on the one play.
They do a great pass.
It was incredible. I mean, if they tackle them at the 30-yard line, they're just going to go to overtime.
Yep.
They're just going to say, you know what? We're just going to overtime. That's what we're going to do. Instead, they give up the huge kickoff return. He makes one throw. I probably would have done a little something different on defense. And then he just bombs that thing from 50. Was it 54?
56.
The freshman kicker. 56.
It was good from 60. It was good from 60-something.
It looked beautiful.
Just bombed it. So those critical plays changed, because who did not want to see overtime in SMU Clemson? I was begging for it.
I did.
At that time, SMU was hot.
Yep.
It was like they can win this thing. And it also, that changed lives. It changed who's getting in and what's going on.
Yep.
It took, yeah.
Yeah.
It took Alabama out of it. So those three plays were big plays. And sometimes you go, oh, man, didn't really think about that. Oh, God, they're game changers to have those. And you're thinking about those things constantly. Because, like I said, when you play in those games, it's such a fine line between winning and losing that it's just every little thing matters. So it was interesting college football.
I'll bet that if you – okay, now this is – I'm going out on a limb here. But I bet if you watched Ty Warren every play in this game, you would say, what's wrong with him? Is he sick? He was not running routes hard. I don't know what
I'm with you, Steve. They threw one in the end zone to him. And I call it like a slot fade,
right?
In the end zone.
I know the play.
And he was running, and then they showed a couple clips the other time when he wasn't the primary, and he wasn't running. I agree with you. And my first thought was on the one and into the end zone. It was like, is he that tired? I go, is he that tired? And I wondered if
he had the flu or something. Like,
he's still in a decent stance. 7 catches, 84 yards. Respectable.
Yeah. They go to him all the time. They do. I mean,
yeah.
But Bill, I'm telling you, he wasn't running routes hard. I don't know what the deal was.
On the season for Tyler Warren, by the way, the tight end, he had over 1,000 yards.
Oh, he's fabulous.
88 catches, 1,062 yards, 6 touchdowns in the season.
He's a great player. He's not a great player. Something was not right with him.
It didn't look like on a couple of the routes. So I noticed the one on the route into the end zone they threw where I was like, he's not running full speed. And so he said maybe he was tired or maybe he was sick. You never know. But he's a heck of a player.
We didn't even mention that Penn State had 297 rushing yards in the game. It ran all over Oregon.
They did.
300 yards rushing.
Can you imagine that on either side as Steve has been writing for Nebraska for forever? If a 300-yard rushing day against the number one team in the country.
And you lose.
Or on the other side, if you're on Oregon's side right now, that's a hard flight home. When you're the number one team in the country and you gave up 300 yards rushing, that's more rushing yards than they had against, I guarantee, anyone in the Big Ten. They didn't have 300 yards against anybody in the Big Ten.
They got two good backs. They never put that kind of yardage up before. 300 yards and lost the game.
300. Yeah. Imagine before the game, Penn State runs for 300. And with that defense, I'm like, oh, they win. They win.
Kate Allen had 14 carries, 124, and Singleton had 10 carries, 105 yards. But there was big gashing runs.
And Aller was good. I've been critical of Aller, but he made some throws. You guys were watching. Danielson said one of those throws was one of the best he's ever seen in his life. He threw off his wrong foot and made a key completion. Aller also has running the ball a little better now. He'll get upfield for you.
Yeah, he made a couple runs. They did a nice job. The offensive coordinator from Kansas, Kolonecki.
Kolonecki. That's it. You got it.
Yeah, he did a really good job. He did a really, and then obviously Oregon did too. Did a really, because that Penn State defense, I didn't think that Oregon was going to put that many points on
it. Bill, I was shocked by it. I was. They couldn't get us. I mean, they got a couple stops, but man, they just could. It was, they were hard pressed to get any stops.
Yeah, it was a strain by both sides.
It is a cool parenting tips Thursday, Bill. What do you have for the breakers today?
Well, I'm going to have to go back to a couple days ago, but it's real simple. Making a list, checking it twice. Making a list, checking it twice. Teach your kids to make a list. I've always talked about people that need to hear from you, people that you need to hear from. How to connect with people that you need to hear from. So I'm at this event. I had to speak at a huge program for Alex Smith's induction of the College Football Hall of Fame. So we're at this big event. I'm standing there, and from behind, all of a sudden, I get this giant bear hug from this guy. Mm-hmm. And I turn around, and I'm like, I lose my mind. I completely lose my mind. It's Kavika Casco. It's one of the toughest safeties I ever had. He was a walk-on at Utah. He's from Maui, from Hawaii. Mm-hmm. He's from Maui. And it was like I hadn't seen him forever.
Say the name again.
Kavika Casco. Kavika. And my whole life changed. And just in that brief little moment, I saw Spencer Toon, another one of those people I hadn't seen forever. And it was like, oh my. And I started, the flashes came back. Do you guys remember the Chicago Bears meltdown? Hail Mary, the guy's watching, looking in the other direction when the ball's in the air. The guys are running down the field like that. That happened. The same play happened. Not like that. It happened at Wyoming. Kavika Casco, I put in the game on the last play to be the pigtail, mm-hmm. and he's the one who has to play for the bounce. If the bounce happens, the bounce happened. Wyoming catches, has the ball in his hands. He's turning down to win the game at Wyoming, and here comes the flying Hawaiian. Kavika Casco comes across, and he punches the ball out.
Love it.
He punches the ball. He's 5'10", 165. He punches the ball out.
The flying Hawaiian.
The flying Hawaiian knocks the ball out. We all fly home happy. Because guess what? He's like, it just changed my life just seeing him again. It was like, oh my God, it was so incredible. I mean, it was like tears were just rolling down my face. Mm-hmm. And talking, and then we're talking, hey coach, remember when we came back out and I was recruiting at a different school, and I go see him like 10 years later, and he told me, he goes, hey, come down to the beach. I'll tell you where I used to hang out at here in Maui. Mm-hmm. He was living back in Maui. So he takes me down and he goes, all right, let's go. He's got a big longboard.
He takes me out.
He taught me how to. He got me up surfing.
The
flying Hawaiian, because he was a professional surfer too. So he would he took me out on a longboard, taught me when the waves are coming, gave me a shove, got out on that.
Nice.
And then I'm talking. He goes, coach. He goes, you remember that when I took you I drove you back to the airport at 4 a.m. And I said, I do. He goes, remember that girl you're giving me a hard time about that was with me in the car? I go, I do. He goes, that's her. Right there, that's my wife. Wow. We've been married for, we've got three kids.
Wow.
That's her. And I go, Kavika, I said, I was so worried about you during the fires. I see if you're okay. And I didn't know that. Oh, by the way, he was a fireman in the Maui fires. He worked 36 straight hours. Ooh. And he drove his truck right into ground zero, and his truck got completely melted. And they had to send an Hummer in to get him out of the fire to save some of the firemen that were in the middle of that fire to get him back out of it.
Oh, God.
And it's like, so it doesn't surprise me because of what a person he was.
Yeah.
So my point of it is like,
Amiga.
There's people that you need to hear from. People say, you need to reach out to somebody like that. They talk about like a life-changing deal. I mean, I had like my flailing arms when I saw him. I was so excited.
This was 2 days ago. 2 days ago.
In Vegas. He came back because he was a teammate of Alex Smith. So he flew back from Maui. Him and his wife flew back to be at the event, this program.
And this event was?
For the College Football Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And so this was a private event the night before, and I had to speak at it. I was at the program, so I was kind of nervous, and then all of a sudden he shows up, and it was just a life-changing moment for me. So right now at that. So today, each breaker, reach out to someone that you need to hear from, someone that can make you the happiest person in the world.
That is beautiful.
So it was a lot of fun to be part of that. So Kavika Casco.
Say how he spells last name.
I'm not even 100% sure. I'm not sure.
You're a coach. You're not a sports writer.
But I know how to say it. I do know that.
Casco.
You liked how he spelled caveat one time on the show.
I had it down. I said it correctly.
He was.
You said, let me see how you spell that. That's how you spell caveat.
C-A-V-I-O-T.
He still remembers how he spelled it.
I had it down. Oh, that's funny. The media guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The guy who went to journalism school wants to make fun of me. Let's see you get all 11 guys lined up on a zone.
You know my football background.
You know what a speech would be?
Yeah.
We went over that a couple weeks ago. He's got two things.
Don't test me on this anymore. It's starting to come around a little bit.
Come around a little bit.
Oh, Tampa
that's,
2.
Well, there's a story. I'll write that.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
That's my Bills.
What else was the? Did you encounter at the?
Well, at the actual event, like I was telling you guys earlier, it was right. insane because it was kind of like I'm walking down the hallway, me and Laura kind of that, and it's all black ties, so we're in tuxes and all this stuff. And I'm like, ooh, there's Ronnie Lott. Oh, wow, there's Marcus
Allen. This was Frank. Frank went in, right?
Frank went in, so I got a great picture with Frank.
College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I got a picture with Coach Solich. Had a chance to talk to his kids, and all of a sudden I'm standing like, oh, got up, got to hug Rich Glover, got to hug Tommy Frazier. He was there for like that. Kyle VandenBosch was there.
VandenBosch.
Yeah. I mean, it was.
Jake's
I mean,
boy.
Yeah. I said, I don't know who looks better, just as incredible shape. And obviously the pipeline was, but Zach Wiegert was there, had a great conversation with him. But there was people everywhere. So I was sitting next to Tom Izzo was right here at my table, was Urban Meyer, Kyle Whittingham, all the Alex Smith group was at one table. So I got to just sit and talk to Urban all night.
Why was Izzo there?
Head coach got
Mark D'Antonio.
Got inducted.
D'Antonio.
And so he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. He was one of the coaches that got inducted.
Regal.
But it was like the who's who of everybody. Oh, hey, good to see Spurrier. What's up, man? Was walking by things. I mean, it was like, so because nobody was.
How's he looking nowadays, Spurrier?
Looks pretty good.
He's good.
Nobody was anxious because if you were inside that room, you were supposed to be inside that room. So there wasn't people kind of like, oh, I want to go over and get a picture or sign an autograph. There was no.
Right.
Everybody was
You'd
just
cool.
You
have to take selfies.
You know, I'm sitting there talking, like I said, Alex Smith, there. I'm talking to his parents. So I thought, oh, God, good to see Andrew Luck here. You know, whipping
Andrew
in like that.
Andrew Luck.
But it was just it was like the who's who everywhere. And it was just so cool. So to be there. When Alex got inducted into the Hall of Fame and be part of that, and then also when Coach Solich was there, because he'll become the sixth college football Hall of Fame coach that I worked for, because my first coaching job at Nebraska was Ed Ogeron's not in yet, but he will be. Barry, Tom, Urban, Kyle Whittingham's not in yet, but will be in yet. So there'll be a total of six when they all get said and done.
Remarkable.
To have to fall that back. But the first year at Nebraska, when I got hired, it was in the spring, and I was going to go to defense eventually, but I didn't. So Frank took me. So I coached running backs with him.
That's amazing.
And we were talking about what you had to know at that time because of the four stations. So I had the side station. And so when it came, when they rotated around, sometimes you'd have the fours, sometimes you'd have the ones. So I'd have Mickey Joseph, whoever the quarterback was, the one offense. And you had to know everything because you had the script and you were calling the plays. It wasn't just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm just kind of, helping out, No, you had to know your stuff. And me and Frank talked about that two nights ago about how you had to be so well indoctrinated what was going on and how those coaches counted on you. Because if they all of a sudden, when they turned the film on to watch your station and it was wrong, it was on you.
Yeah.
It was like, wait, what was going on over there? Or if you're, then the next year, I'd be doing a station. I'd be on defense. If you're lined up wrong, it's like, hold it. What are we doing? We're in Oakey. Why are we lined up like this, Bill? You were in charge. It was a problem. And then that means the whole period was wrong. I mean, you're going to just catch it.
And you had to answer to the big man.
You had to answer. And it was like, and you watched.
Guess who the big man was?
Yeah. And you watched every snap of film. So it wasn't like, oh, maybe they won't notice it. Oh, they're going to notice it.
Yeah.
They're going to notice it real fast.
Never thought about a coach slinking down in his chair during film. You always think about players.
You're sitting there going like, oh, man. And you were. You had your calls. I remember defensively stuff, people asking me questions. Hey, we get that. And you better have the answer. You better build.
That helped you.
Yeah.
That had to help.
It helped you because you went out there. You were so wired up at Nebraska because like going, I've got to be on. It's not kind of like, ah, it's cool. We'll get it. Don't worry about it. No, we just wasted 18 reps at your station because you didn't have them lined up right. And when you showed the wrong look to the offense and the defense didn't know what they were doing.
That's not good.
And that's a bad
that's
day.
That's interesting.
And you had to know it. But Frank, I said, without Frank, I'm not in coaching because of him able to let me have that first year with him. And we laughed about grading the film. In spring because, we'd go, they'd run 190 or 200 some plays, usually a scrimmage now. I mean, we would grade film for 6 hours.
Good God.
It took forever. It'd be like, there was like the 14th fullback got some reps. It was insanity. It was insanity. I mean, you were just like,
Those reps mattered. Just
blind. And I would go in early, like super, or I'd stay at night and I would grade all of them. And then I would sit with Frank. And then we would talk about, and one time we were talking about, and I'd already had him graded. And there'd be times we'd be like going, that actually should be
a higher grade. It was like one that Bill, actually on that would probably be, he missed a technique because of this. And so he would teach me, but he would always ask me, what'd you do? What'd you grade him? I got this and this.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
That's good.
And sounds then, like better times.
Then he'd come back and he'd say, I would look at that one again. Actually, he did, you know, what this is why he made that adjustment or something. But that's how you learned how to do it. So instead of going like an answer like that, yeah, that's what I had too. Yeah. Coach, I'm going to give him a 2 on that, Bill. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, nope. Yeah, you had him done ahead of time. So he'd ask you and you had to answer to it. So it was really cool. But that event was like, oh, man. The people walking around was mind blowing. Sorry, Jake.
That's fun.
Back to more of Bill's Thrills Rewrapped, sponsored by Acres Equipment on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Football Friday.
Freaky Football Friday.
Go Army, beat Navy.
You want them to beat Navy?
Go Navy, beat Army. Oh, you're talking about tomorrow, one of the greatest days in college football. Oh, Army-Navy. That is, God, love it. It would be, if there was one game, someone said, what's the one game you'd like to coach in? One game, this game. I couldn't imagine what it's like. You just imagine on both sides, every time they shake someone's hand or meet someone, they say that. Go Army, beat Navy. Go Navy, beat Army. That's what's said.
That's what they say?
It's incredible. Also, let's go through a little path here with Monken. I think when Monken took over, I'm not sure. But I'm not sure it's 100%, but there was a time where Navy beat him 14 years in a row. Could you imagine Ohio State or Michigan, Ohio State can't breathe. No. It's been 4 in a row. They can't breathe.
State of Ohio?
Yeah. Could you imagine Army-Navy? Could you imagine that? The rivalry of all rivalries. And it was kind of funny. They joked about the Commander-in-Chief trophy is also up in this game. And somehow Air Force came up, and they just chuckle like... No, not Air Force. They talked about the past presidents that have seen this game, and it goes back so much deeper. But it was just, when they talk about this game, I get so excited. Think about this now. Army's already won the AAC. They've won the conference. When Army beat Tulane, who I had Tulane very highly rated, I still think a lot of them, but it wasn't who I thought, they had no turnovers, no penalties, and no punts.
Army?
They didn't punt the entire
game.
You're
kidding.
And they didn't turn it over. And they absolutely mauled Tulane at home and absolutely crushed them. It was just incredible. But my point is, now it's 8-3.
against 11-1.
That's right. Good teams.
Good teams.
These teams are both ranked at one point this
year. Both really, really, really good teams.
Army is still ranked.
They're
22nd. They were 11-1, like 11, you said.
11-1. They've already won the championship, Steve. Oh, man. And I'm telling you, when you see the pageantry of this game, and it will be a great game. It will be. And talk about when someone says, do you know the other team? They know each other. That's why the game's usually like 14-13 or something like that. I mean, they know each other so well and what they're do against each other. And they've brought in, both sides have kind of brought in this wing T element of also then with triple option. Army, you'll see, it's just wing T football. They just snap the ball to the quarterback, and it's quarterback run.
Really?
And
that guy's good, right?
He's really good.
He's a dude.
So the excitement of this game, the pageantry, when you see, and then if you want to see something really cool, just watch the end of when the game ends. The respect for each other and the respect on both sides, even though it's still go Army.
So you won't see like the histrionics.
There will not be a flag planting.
Right.
There will not be a flag planting going on. No, there'll be
respect.
There'll be incredible respect.
The quarterback for Army, his name is Bryson Daly.
He's a dude.
Yes. He has 29 rushing touchdowns this year.
29.
So, he's Frost-like, by the way.
He has 29 touchdowns.
He reminds me of Frost.
Very much. Yeah. Very much.
Thank you.
Also, his throwing yardage is really low. He's 11.2, I believe, per attempt. That's remarkable number. That means so dudes are running wide open because they have to. So everything when you play either one of these teams, like, hey, let's do some fire zone. Let's do some Tampa 2. Is that? Nope. It's 11-on-11 football. It's 11-on-11 football because you have to account for the quarterback at all times in the run game. And it's just a bloodbath.
Jake.
This is a 2 p.m. Yes. kickoff on CBS.
Where will you watch this?
I'll be home.
In the garage or in home?
In the house. I'll go in-house tomorrow. Our garage is not set up for these to be set up right now. I'll be in-house for that. Very excited about this. I mean, I get as pumped as you can possibly be for this game.
Will you be, guys, I'm occupied right now.
Yeah, I'll be checked out. There'll be no texting, nothing on that. Now,
no, I mean here, to your family. Like, will you be, hey, guys, come
on. Yeah, I'm out. Yeah. And also, the next thing, buckle up and get something to eat ahead of time or pray for, because this game will be over in about an hour and 45 minutes. I mean, it goes fast.
Don't take a nap. You will miss the whole game. You'll miss the game.
It'll be a little bit longer. I was a little facetious.
On that one.
Okay, Army-Navy, kind of half.
Army, by the way, 6.5-point favorite in this game, Army is. And Bill is mentioning the quarterback. Again, I mentioned that he had 29 touchdowns, 78 pass attempts all year.
78 for the year.
And he has 264 carries.
Yeah.
That's the quarterback.
It's the quarterback.
Do you have his size?
Yes, Bryson Daly. He is 6 foot, 221 from Abernathy, Texas.
I thought he's came a little taller than that.
Came as a linebacker. Moved him to quarterback. Came as a linebacker, moved him to quarterback.
Hmm. Yeah, he does have 8 passing touchdowns and 1 pick on the season.
There was times when I never had to.
That's good.
So at New Mexico State, we played Army twice. We went up there. It was incredible.
You were coaching what at that point?
Defensive backs at New Mexico State with Tony Samuel.
Okay.
We lost up there in a good game. We beat him at home. Shindaddy was in attendance. He came for the game. Shindaddy was at the game to watch us play Army, and we won that game.
It's beautiful nostalgia.
But there was times when I was defending Air Force at Utah, and I was like, I can't cover these passes. We can't cover them. They were uncoverable. They were so difficult with your run fits and what you had to do. And you were you're constantly in a bind. Everything, you're in a conflict. You're like, do I do this or do I do this?
What you just said.
And then it was just an eye violation mayhem. It's just eye violations that could happen. You had to be so good. And generally, like I said, it won't in this game, but generally when you played a team like that and that wasn't you're used to playing them, the first drive, they would score methodically in like 8 or 9 plays. It was like 7 yards a carry. It was like boom, 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 until you started to figure out the speed and the pace because they run it.
That'd be disconcerting.
It was. So the first game, just be like boom, 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 boom.
And you're up
like,
there in the press box going, what are we doing?
And guess what? You'd have like one call. You didn't have all these, hey, here's what I do. Hey, corner blitz, clear on the corner. Nope, that's going to cause this problem. And then you'll see fullbacks carrying the ball.
So in a sense, is it easier in a game in your role? Because there's just not much you can do.
Well, there was, you know, we played this defense against them, like we called Falcon against the true wishbone or double wing wishbone stuff. So generally,
there's two ways to play it. It's a one highway or a two highway. And basically, I said there's just two playbooks that sit in the offensive coordinator's deal. Come out because you know there's not a lot of change because you can't rep at all because there's just too much. There's too much volume. So it's like, huh? They're in two high. Hey, hand me that playbook here. And here's what we're calling. It's one high. Give me that playbook. Because this is our best plays again. So they only run their best stuff. There's never a time when it's just like, geez, what a call. They run everything that's difficult. Every snap, every play. And so it's
fascinating,
a lot. It's so cool to be and to watch it. It was just be Army, Navy.
Well, you watch it from a different way because you understand it. I am fascinated by what you said that there's just nothing you could do on certain pass plays. There's just nothing.
No, there's sometimes I'm like, how am I going to be able to play the run and then that wheel route at the same time?
Are you just counting on man-to-man coverage holding up?
You're basically you're in some form of man in all aspects.
And you're counting on your guys understanding what's going on.
And that's where the game changed so much with RPOs and even in this. So in when you're defending wishbone football, you always play off technique of your corners and you key through the uncovered offensive lineman.
Okay, now you're starting to speak a little different language, go ahead. Keep going.
Because when the uncovered lineman would start downfield, that means it was run. So that if they were running an option to you, you could immediately try to beat your wide out, whoever, and get to pitch to work to in the run support. When RPO started happening and guys could be down the field like 3 yards, that went away.
Ooh.
Press is the dumbest thing you can do, press coverage.
Against a wishbone?
Yeah, because they'll push crack you, which means they'll push up the field and you're pressing, and then he'll get off and go crack the safety, and sometimes two will get one. And so you want to have
play off
eyes. You want to play off eyes.
Back to more of Bill's Thrills Rewrapped. Sponsored by Acres Equipment on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Bill, the floor is yours on our first Bill Thrills in several days. What's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to hit on this the other day when we had a little difficulties, but I still wanted to go back in time with a week ago or whatever the time frame was. I want to go back in time and I want to discuss the playoffs. First round of the playoffs and the first round, somewhat controversy. And the thing to remember also with the controversy is that all the things going on, it's still what makes college football so great. Because there is so much back and forth, so much conversation. This who was getting in, all the things that led up to it. Every year, just a year ago, the playoffs, remember, Georgia went from first to sixth and lost on a neutral site in a close game. There is so much conversation. There's so many things. And it's the most unique sport. And, this is something like, well, this is how you do it. There's no way that you can be able to compare some things. You've got different schedules. You have in different leagues. You name it. There is so much going on. But the great debate is awesome. So that's a big start to it. But to talk about, the playoffs, one, seeding helps. The seeding of, if it was just seeded 1 through 12 and not, the fact that Boise and Arizona State are bye teams, as far as not playing, that is interesting to me, and that creates a lot of different matchups in those first games. But I'll say this: everyone, there was a huge meltdown, and obviously there was several pundits that, and I know Kirk Herbstreit said that they just really kind of went after Indiana. My advice to everyone is press pause. It's the first year. Before anyone has any sort of radical comments on how things should be done, or this is completely screwed up, and some little things. Just press pause. If there's all kinds of things going on and it's year 3 and 4 or down the road, that's different. But it's the first year. The second thing, I think we'll see if Jake agrees with me on this. Those home stadiums, they were Thunderdomes. They were unbelievable. Awesome. They were awesome. And to go in there, like I said, to go in there and to win those games would have been just so difficult for everyone. I mean, they come out. Indiana didn't belong. Yeah, hang on a second. I'm not sure who would have went into Notre Dame and won that night. That place was remarkable. They all were. They were all, in incredible games. The next thing is there has been horrific games in the 4-team playoffs. There's been horrific games in the BCS championship.
Correct.
There's been horrific Super Bowls, and so like I said. 2-3, Bama beats Michigan State 38-0. 2-3, Clemson beats Ohio State 31-0. When I was at LSU, we scored 49 points in the first half against Oklahoma. these things. Georgia TCU national championship game, horrific. So there's been all these games that have been, you know, absolutely horrific, and then but all of a sudden there the first four games come out and they're not overly competitive, obviously, and so no one's going to say that they were. But I mean, but all of a sudden it's all on that Indiana and SMU, you know, that didn't belong. Now, hang on a second now. I think Indiana played Ohio State better than Tennessee did.
Yeah,
Ohio State played three quarterbacks against Tennessee. They played three quarterbacks, but nothing gets said there. And nothing gets said because that's in the SEC. And so my biggest point is with the playoffs, press pause and just let it play out and see what happens. Because because you have to have a bigger body of work before someone says, this is so jacked up. The only thing that I felt was jacked up was, like I said, was the seedings. I really did. I really felt that and that created also some different scenarios in those first four games. But those home games was a brilliant idea, and it's going to be tough because those venues were wow. I mean, they were wow. And motivated teams, I mean, you didn't want to go into Penn State for that game. You didn't want to go to the Shoe for that game. I mean, they were all just remarkable games. And so, anyway, that's my commentary on the playoffs. And it's just like, just hang, because right away, also just went into this. They don't belong. They don't belong. This doesn't happen. And then the talk of like that. It's got to be the best. Well, how do you determine that? Because that doesn't happen in the NFL, Jake.
No.
You don't get that. No, it's not like, well, hang on now. If you won the conference, your conference, you get in. After that, we're just going to pick the best. So we're going to have way more AFC teams than NFC teams or vice versa. Nope. That's not how it works. And so, and then if you take it out to where teams don't have a ways to be able to get in and to be able to do certain things, I think the setup is really good. I think there'll always be small tweaks to it. And there's always going to be, but the reason that there's so much magic to college football is the discussion. With 2 weeks to go, there was probably 38 teams still in the mix. And that was fun. That created conversation, created all those different conversations. And that was awesome. So like I said, press pause, let it play out, see what happens, see how they can tweak things a little bit. But right now, you'll never be like the NFL. You'll never be like that because it's set up for success for those that are failing. And that's how the draft picks switch. All those things happen. They can spin the computer to how they're going to do their schedule. Everyone has the same cap. Everyone has all the thing like that is the same. You don't have that in college football. You don't have that. You have teams playing. Some teams have like an LSU. They're like, we're always going to play a non-conference big game. They've played Florida State 2 years in a row. They played USC. Mm-hmm. They play a big time game out of conference. That's their theory. Some don't do that. Some don't do that at all. So when the scheduling is not controlled by one central, like I've talked about before, about having a commissioner and a way to be able to do scheduling to be better, you're always going to have crazy conversations. On what's going on and how scheduling is going to be. It'll never get back to normal, and don't push away from it that hard because that's one of the reasons that the sport is so great and there's so much conversation about it. And it's very, very, very intriguing to how this plays out. And so I still think about how you cut it, this 12 team playoff to 14 to 16, whatever it is, with all the teams that have chances to get into it late, makes the game absolutely great.
I agree. And I'm thinking, you know, like you said, the best thing about the whole thing is, like you mentioned, no doubt, is the home games. The crowds are great. I mean, I was impressed with the amount of Tennessee fans that made it to Ohio State, but still, the stadiums were full. They were jacked. But you're thinking about the seedings. I mean, look, here's the spreads, Bill. I mean, 3-seed Boise State, which we thought was a fraudulent 3-seed, of course, is an 11-point underdog to Penn State, the 6-seed. Arizona State, 4-seed. Is a 13.5-point dog to 5-seed Texas. Ohio State, the 8-seed, is a favorite over Oregon. 2.5 points in favor of Ohio State over Oregon right now is a spread. And Notre Dame, a 2-point dog to Georgia. So that's the one time you actually have the higher seed actually favored in these next playoff games.
If you did the seeding correct, you would not have an Ohio State playing Oregon in this game. I mean, I mean, there's an extra game. So when there's an extra game, there's risk. Notre Dame lost their a defensive lineman. There's a risk of an extra game. I would take that risk. I would, if I was Penn State, I'd be like, bring it on. Give me a home game. And if we win, we get to play Boise. I'm like, I'll take that game. You want to buy instead? Nope. Bring him, have him come to our house, and then I'll go play Boise second. That is a better situation. And so you know how hard it is? Because Oregon has had its flaws at times, like everyone. You know how hard it is to be undefeated?
Very hard.
It's so very hard to not just lay an egg and have it, you know, and they did. They laid an egg against Wisconsin, but they still won the game. They're undefeated. They should not be playing, you know, arguably, one thing about Ohio State with a couple losses, talent-wise, roster-wise, where would Ohio State be? You think, are they eighth?
No.
Probably second, maybe. Yeah. First, second, or third, talent-wise, across the board. And they're not. And so that part right there doesn't add up, but that's where the seeding got all jacked up. All I did is say, yes, you get in. Yes, you get in. You get the right to be in the 12. But to have those both those teams as automatic buys is something that's what also messed up the first round games to make it more difficult for that, because first round games would have been a lot cooler if they had seeded them correctly. But again, the conversation, what does one versus eight create? Unbelievable conversation. Mm-hmm. Is there interest in that Rose Bowl? Oh, wow. I mean, across the board, there's some games probably not as interesting. We'll see how it plays out, you know, with Arizona State and with Boise and how they play. But again, press pause. Let's get a little bit more of a structure to see. Let's get some more data points before we start to flip out. And it's still awesome because there's more teams that have a chance, and that just makes it interesting to be able to see all those things.